Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
With dwindling poll numbers and mounting crises on every political front, the Biden administration is resorting to a tried and true Democrat strategy to secure re-election. Bribe people.
So today then, building on the work that we've done thus far, I'm announcing a new plan to forgive more loans for 25 million more Americans, including millions of our public servants. And that means, for example, if you've paid undergrad loans for 20 plus years or graduate loans for 25 or more years, your loans will be completely forgiven, regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. So I'm going to repeat that. If you've paid undergraduate loans for more than 20 years or graduate loans for more than 25 years, those loans will be completely forgiven regardless of your income and even if you did not graduate. And forgiveness will be automatic for the vast majority of the 25 million people that we believe will benefit from this approach. And to see if you could be eligible, I would urge everyone to go to studentaid.gov. That's studentaid.gov.
Now, you might be wondering if this is really a smart strategy. After all, the vast majority of Americans are not college graduates, 62.3% to be exact. Is it really wise to bribe only a minority of eligible voters and to do so with money from the majority? Well, that's why Biden is paying off the loans of all college attendees, even those who did not graduate. Most Americans attend at least some form of college for some period of time. 56.86% of Americans, to be precise. But even that doesn't tell the whole story, because Joe Biden is not trying to bribe Americans generally. There are some Americans who will never vote for Biden, no matter how much money he gives them, because they have strongly held beliefs and integrity. They are ride-or-die conservatives. They're going to vote for Trump no matter what. Joe Biden is not casting a wide net to bribe all Americans and thereby to convince them to vote for him. He is only bribing the people who he has a good chance of winning over. 54% of voters who attend graduate school identify consistently or mostly as liberals. An additional 22% have mixed political views. Only 24% are conservative. That's for grad school. Among voters with a college degree, just 29% consider themselves mostly or consistently conservative. Almost the same number, 28%, of voters who attended college but have not graduated call themselves conservative. Conservatives, and especially libertarians, are going to whine and complain that this policy is not fair. The income gap between college and high school graduates just hit a record high. College graduates out-earn high school graduates by $22,000 per year. Why is everybody, including the high school grads, going to subsidize the college grads who make more money? It's not fair. Well, this isn't about fairness. This isn't even about indiscriminate bribery. The Biden student loan plan is an example of highly targeted bribery. And you can say it's not fair, and you can say it's not right, but in Democratic politics, it usually works. I'm Michael Knowles. This is The Michael Knowles Show. Welcome back to the show. Democrat Congress Lady Sheila Jackson Lee has just declared that the moon is mostly made of gases. We will get to the party of science in just one moment. First, though, go to pepperdine.edu/Knowles. If you have been debating starting a career in politics, you got to check out Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Pepperdine School of Public Policy stands out among the 200-plus graduate policy programs in the country as one of the few that is based out of a Christian university. This program equips leaders to apply America's timeless principles to today's policy issues. By joining Pepperdine School of Public Policy, you will become part of a powerful alumni network. These alumni are making a difference around the country and the world, serving in positions including Capitol Hill staff, diplomats, think tank analysts, and charter school founders. The campus is nestled in the rolling foothills of the Santa Monica Mountains that overlooks the scenic beaches along the Pacific Ocean, probably the most beautiful part of continental America. For our listeners only, the School of Public Policy is offering a guaranteed $2,000 scholarship on top of normal scholarship offerings when you go to pepperdine.edu/Knowles. That is pepperdine.edu/Knowles to request more information and start your application. pepperdine.edu/Knowles. A ton of libs are about to have their student loans forgiven. They're about to just be given a ton of money. What are they going to do with that money? Congress Lady AOC explains.
This is huge. This is people getting the student loan forgiveness, their student loans canceled. It means that, you know, it's hope to buy a house or have a kid or travel abroad or maybe even go back to school and you know, pursue a career that maybe they otherwise wouldn't have. I mean, one of the reasons that's not me now is because I didn't feel like I'd be able to afford medical school. And so hopefully someone else who's at an ICEF competition somewhere will be able to do that because of this.
I have never been more grateful to student loans in my life than after finding out that AOC almost became a medical doctor. Could you imagine surgeon AOC? Could you imagine the absolute bloodbath, the number of bodies that would stack up if AOC had become a medical doctor? Actually, you know what? I take that back. I actually love student loan forgiveness, I think, and I hate the fact that these student loans stopped her. Because had AOC become a medical doctor, she might not have become a member of Congress. So actually, all right, I totally take it back. I flip. Biden's plan is great. She's saying that the place they're going to spend the money when they get all this free money, there's no such thing as free money, so it's money coming from someone else, including from non-college graduates who are going to earn less money on average. They're going to use that money to buy a house. Okay, I mean, I still don't see quite why it's fair to buy a house for the college graduates at the expense of the non-college graduates, but okay, buying a house, that's a good investment, I guess. It's good for the country to have home ownership or to have kids. That's good. That is good, actually. We need to have kids. We have a dying population. We've had a dying population since 1971. So yeah, we do need to increase the birth rate. Okay, maybe that would happen. I'm not convinced that forgiving student loans of college and graduate school loan bearers would actually accomplish that. But okay, whatever, in principle, that's fine. But then travel abroad. We are some high school graduate who's been responsible, who's working a job, who hasn't taken out hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans, who's trying to feed his family, which is difficult in the Biden economy. He's going to subsidize some purple-haired gender studies major at Brown University so that aforementioned purple-haired gender studies major can go on vacation to Italy. That's what we're doing this for now. Or frankly, the fourth thing she mentioned is probably even crazier than the third, than the study abroad. And that is so that they can go to more graduate school, so they can go to more college, so they can be even more irresponsible with their money. What? That doesn't seem like a very good idea. The question you have to ask yourself is, how does this advance the common good? This is the question. This is why the libs are so smart politically on this issue. This is why they're running circles around the American right on this issue, is because the American right is stuck with this very narrow libertarian mindset, this very narrow, frankly, ahistorical mindset, which is that the politicians have no right to forgive student loans. This is not just. This is not right because of economic liberty and property rights, and the politicians have no right to do this. Look, man, politicians have been redistributing wealth for all of human history. Sometimes it's done in a way that's just, sometimes it's done in a way that's less just, but it's a republic. It's a political community. The government is going to spend money, and sometimes you're going to disagree with the way that the government spends money, but government is a natural institution. The state is a natural institution because man is a social creature, and it's going to exist. And you can bury your head in the sand and read your Hayek and read your Adam Smith and say that it isn't right, but that's not going to affect anything because polities are going to continue to exist as they always have everywhere in the world. The money is going to be spent. The question is, what are we spending the money for? The reason government spends money, the reason the government is supposed to spend money, is to advance the common good. The common good is not some commie, like, you know, collectivist hodgepodge necessarily. The common good is supposed to conduce to all of our flourishing individually and as families and as townships and as a political body. How does paying for some gender studies major's vacation to Italy advance the common good? It doesn't. That is just a bribe. That is, you know, there's the distinction that we've talked about on this show a number of times that good old Uncle Polybius makes between different kinds of regimes. That you have three types of regimes that can be good: monarchy, aristocracy, and democracy. But you've got the dark side of all of those regimes, which is quite bad. Tyranny, oligarchy, and mob rule. The founding fathers were quite afraid of this as well, and they were certainly aware of this distinction. What's the difference? What's the difference between monarchy and tyranny? A lot of modern Americans would say there's no difference at all. No, there is a difference. The difference, that, as our founding fathers understood and as classical statesmen have understood, is that the monarch, the good version of this type of regime, governs for the common good, and the tyrant governs for his own self-interest. The aristocracy governs for the common good, the oligarchy for their own self-interest, the democracy for the common good, the mob rule for their own petty self-interests. The Biden loan plan is clearly an example of the latter category, the self-interest, very clearly. If you told me we're going to forgive student loans because kids have been pushed into this for a long time, I mean, starting in what, in 2009, I think 70% of high school graduates went straight to college. That was an all-time high. It's come down a little bit since then. That's right when I went to college. That's when AOC went to college. So you can understand a lot of people went there. They were just kind of pushed into this by cultural pressures and by some government policy to encourage people to go. And then they look up one day and they got $250,000 in loans that they're never going to pay off. At least in principle, I understand why you could say, hey, maybe it would be a good thing to pay some of this down just to help dig our country out of this debt and to help us all flourish. Okay, well, if it's to actually help the country, I'm fine for it. If it's to just bribe people to vote for Joe Biden by giving them a trip to the Amalfi Coast, that is dirty. That is low down and dirty. Now, speaking of things that once partook of behaviors that were low down and dirty, but then have come out of it and actually improved potentially, I have got this interview that I just did with Nahla Ray that has somewhat unexpectedly taken the internet by storm. I knew it would be a big interview, but it's got now, I think, 6 million views on X. It has been stymied on YouTube. YouTube has kind of slowed its growth. Even there, it's got many hundreds of thousands of views. I don't think it's hit a million yet. It's an interview with this woman who was one of the top porn performers on OnlyFans. She made something like $9 million in 4 years. And then she gave it up because, as she said, she had a radical conversion to Christianity. And I sat down with her for a long time. I've had these long conversations with all sorts of people, with Father Rehill, the exorcist, with a ton of different people. You might have seen some of these interviews. This one with Nahla Ray, I think, is getting probably the most views, maybe even more than Father Rehill. And it's because people are debating, is she sincere? Is she not sincere? Is there such a thing as redemption? Can even a porn actress or a prostitute, can even a prostitute be redeemed? There's a debate on the left, on the right. I don't know. Everybody seems to be talking about this. I think it just hit something about our political moment. I previously had a little debate on this series with Pearl Davis. Pearl Davis has been lambasting this girl and me for interviewing her. In any case, here's just a little clip.
I was a pastor's kid. It started slow. I started OnlyFans. I made like $85,000 the first month.
What was it about you that was able to make $1 million a year?
My biggest thing that I sold was that I'm multiple girls. I put all of that energy into creating Nala.
How much money do you have at this point?
$9 million. My parents kind of disowned me.
That sounds catastrophic.
Sorry. I've never really dove into that feeling. Yeah. Never talked about this. What's the point of all this money when I don't have feelings?
Is that the moment where you say, all right, I got to start getting out of this thing?
I was sobbing. I was looking at my fireplace. I grabbed the Bible. I was like, God, I need an answer now. I truly need an answer now. And he gave me an answer.
What did he say?
I really loved sitting down with this girl. She was really terrific. So watch for yourself. The full episode is available on the Michael Knowles Show YouTube. It's available on the Michael Knowles Show X with 6 million views, soon to be 6,000,001 views once you check it out. Speaking of checking out, young people are checking out of our economy, apparently. That was the greatest segue I think I've ever done. That was amazing. 1 in 3 Zoomers, according to a new study conducted by the St. Louis Federal Reserve's Institute for Economic Equity, 1 in 3 Zoomers has no income and no educational enrollment. Because you might say, well, they have no income because they're in college or something. They're getting a degree and then they're going to go make a lot of money. No, 1 in 3 members of Gen Z has neither of those things. They're just checked out. They're just disconnected. Now, how does this compare to the past? Back in 1990, people in the same age range were checked out at a rate of about 1 in 5. So you go from 20% of these people, no income, no education enrollment, to about 33%. That is a huge spike. And it's even worse than that. It's even worse than just not having a job and not being in school because they're dropping out of everything. Additional surveys show that these people increasingly have no religion. They increasingly have no political engagement, very, very little engagement with the actual civil society and public life. They increasingly have no political party. They don't have strongly held partisan beliefs. They have no ideology. And on top of all that, they have little education, period. Not just current enrollment, but they just don't really know much of anything. So the reason that the St. Louis Fed is pushing this survey is they're warning that people are not going to be prepared for retirement. If you don't earn money for a huge part of your life, including your younger years, it's going to be a lot harder to earn money down the road and it's going to be a lot harder to retire. And so that is a worry and people should be concerned about that, the relative lack of assets that they have. That's not my biggest concern. First of all, because young people are about to get super duper rich. Millennials are about to become the richest generation ever because it's not that millennials have made a lot of money themselves generally. Millennials started going to school during the economic crisis. The economy never totally recovered from that. The reason is because, sorry to say, the boomers are dying. And so they're going to get all their money and the boomers have a ton of money. So it's not that they're not going to have assets. That's not, my concern is not that people are not going to be able to retire someday. I'm somewhat concerned that the boomers are not able to retire right now because of all the economic turmoil over the last 20 years. But it's not the retirement. I'm worried about the rest of life. It's not that, maybe, I think the Zoomers will probably figure it out and they'll just get some money at some point, if only because everyone else has died. But if you don't have any education and you don't amass any skills on the job, and you don't have anything getting you out of bed in the morning, what are you going to do in the rest of your life? Is it any wonder that anxiety is up, depression is up, suicide is up? All of those things are up even among young people. Why is that? Because they have nothing to live for. I mean, they do have something to live for. They just don't know it. The scariest number here is not that they're not in college. In fact, it's probably a good thing that a lot of them are not in college. It's a little scarier that they don't have jobs because idle hands are the devil's playground. It's not even super scary that they don't have an ideology. I don't love ideology. Having convictions is good, but the fact that they're not radical ideologues, maybe that's even a good thing. But no political engagement? Why not? They don't have political engagement because we've been told we're all just radical individuals and we don't need to engage with other people and we can just do whatever we want. And you do you and I'll do me. And we don't even need to be able to speak to one another. Maybe the word that I use to mean woman means something different to you. And who cares? We don't even need to speak the same language. That's worrying. Because if you don't have political engagement, pretty soon you're not going to have a body politic. And then the most worrying of all is that they don't have religion. I don't mean to, come across as a Bible thumper or to be too reductionist about this. But if you think that there's no such thing as God, if you think God doesn't exist and there's really no moral order and nothing really means anything at all, then you are just going to live for idle passing pleasures. And then you're going to get depressed and then you're going to either totally check out into apathy or worst case, you're going to kill yourself because you feel that you have nothing to live for. I think it was George Bernard Shaw said that hell is the place where you have nothing to do but amuse yourself. This is the problem my friend, Father George Rutler, has pointed out. The problem with feel-good religion, kind of, spiritual but not religious. It's just about feeling good and doing good vibes, man. The problem with feel-good religion is feeling bad. It's the moment that you feel bad, which we all do from time to time, your feel-good religion is going to collapse and you're going to despair. You're not going to have hope. And then what? How do you even get out of bed in the morning? I don't know. I don't know how you do that. No one seems to know, the Zoomers least of all, because they're not getting out of bed in the morning. Not a good sign. You need to re-engage people into society or your society is going to just totally collapse. And how do you do that? You need to convince people that their lives mean something, that our lives together mean something. And the only way to do that, you can try to do that with ideology, which is a substitute for religion in modernity. You can try to do that by convincing people that, they got to get out and touch grass and smell the roses and show up to parties. True, we're living in an age, though, that's increasingly isolated, that says that the body doesn't matter, that you can hang out on an app or that you can hang out on FaceTime. So we're living in an age that downplays the importance of the material and the incarnate. And then ultimately, you got to get people to church. You got to convince them that God exists. Because if there's nothing beyond this world, then people are just going to live for temporal pleasure. And ironically, they're not even going to get that because they're going to be living in a way that is undignified and vicious. So that even the passing temporal pleasures, they're not going to get. There's another line from Father Rutler. He pointed out some years ago that, no, I'm sorry, this is Chesterton. It's easy to confuse a lot of these. Chesterton, Fulton Sheen, C.S. Lewis, and Father Rutler. Chesterton said that the carpe diem religion, the seize the day religion, is not the religion of happy people. Seems like it is, the people who go around, seize the day, carpe diem, YOLO would be the new way to say it. They seem like the happiest people of all, but they're not. They're very unhappy. They're restless. And they're always chasing the next fleeting pleasure. But it's fleeting. That's the problem with it. And eventually they get exhausted. They run out of dies to carpe. So, no one here gets out alive. If you're not pointed in some way at the eternal, even the temporal, you're not going to do very well with. There's so much more to say. First, though, go to policygenius.com/Knowles. Life is full of surprises, but your insurance should not be one of them. Policy Genius, your trusted partner for navigating the complex world of insurance, is changing the way we shop for life insurance. Policy Genius has licensed award-winning agents and technology that make it easy to compare life insurance quotes from America's top insurers in just a few clicks to find your lowest price. Their platform is incredibly easy to use. You can compare quotes from top providers right from your phone or computer, all in one place. Getting life insurance for you and your family will give you peace of mind knowing that if something were to happen to you, your family can get back on their feet. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million worth of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Policy Genius works for you, not the insurance companies. That means they don't have the incentive to recommend one insurer over the other. Save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Go to policygenius.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much money you could save. policygenius.com/Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S. Now, meanwhile, a lot of the libs are running to the left. Some libs are moving toward the center. This includes Senator John Fetterman. I won't even make the joke. Okay, I will make the joke. John Fetterman, as you know, has been recovering from a stroke. And the Babylon Bee, I think, pointed out that as this man is recovering from brain trauma, he is becoming more conservative. The brain trauma kind of pushes you a little bit more on to the left, and then the recovery a little bit more to the right. So what is he saying that's so conservative? He is saying, squatters have no rights. He said this in a recent interview, I think with the New York Post, some outlet. Squatters have no rights. How can you pretend that this is anything other than you're just breaking the law? Okay. Yeah, I guess that's not the libs. The woke people are saying that if you show up to someone's house and just live there for 5 seconds, then it's yours and the owner of the house can't evict you. And he's saying that that's not true. Okay, so I guess relatively that's conservative. He says, I'm not woke. We always try to push back against that. It's wild that if you go away on a long trip for 30 days and someone breaks into your home, suddenly they have rights. This is crazy. Like if somebody stole your car and then held it for 30 days, then somehow you now have some rights. I actually still has a little bit of problem with language, but you see the point he's trying to make here. You steal somebody's car, you hold it for a month. Now all of a sudden it's your car. I don't think so. Then he goes further beyond the squatters. He says, I've gone to police funerals. If this individual who killed a cop is convicted, then he should spend the rest of his life in prison and never have an opportunity to get out. We have to be very smart and aggressive on crime. He's taking heat for this. So we're told this guy, here's John Fetterman. He's moderating. He's a centrist. He's going over to the right. Because he says that criminals can't just take your house. Oh man, you hear that? He's like to the right of Attila the Hun. Here comes Mussolini John Fetterman. He says that criminals can't even just take your house willy-nilly. That's a conservative point of view. That used to be a universally held point of view that was totally incontrovertible. Oh, here's that super right. He's basically a fascist, that John Fetterman. He says you shouldn't be able to murder cops. And if you do, you should go to jail for a while. About 5 minutes ago, that was a view held by every single person in the country. It is not that John Fetterman has moved to the right. It is that the left, including the mainstream of the Democratic Party, has gone hurtling to the radical left. So Fetterman, who remains just kind of like a Pennsylvania liberal, he seems like he's moved to the right. Bad news. Now, speaking of Democrat politicians, Sheila Jackson Lee, a member of Congress, has a novel theory on the cosmos. Take it away.
Sometimes you've heard the word full moon. Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable. And you will see you'll see in a couple of years that NASA is going back to the moon.
Our political leaders, ladies and gentlemen, let's have a round of applause. The moon is made of gas. Better, I suppose, than saying that the moon is made of green cheese. Is it? Actually, I guess they're both equally absurd. The moon is made of gas, but we're going to go back to the moon. We're probably not going to go to the sun because when you get too close to the sun, it gets pretty hot. So we're going to have to avoid that, but we're going to live on the ball of gas known as the moon. Now, that obviously does, the moon is not made of gases. I think you probably knew that. I think probably everyone in America knows that except for Sheila Jackson Lee. She has been mocked for this clip. And so she's made a statement about it. Mr. Davies here just texted me this statement just a moment ago. Her statement is, obviously I misspoke and meant to say the sun. But as usual, Republicans are focused on stupid things instead of stuff that really matters. What can I say though? Foolish thinkers lust for stupidity. Okay, so this is unfair. She misspoke. We're taking her out of context. We're foolish. We're foolish thinkers. We lust for stupidity. Except, hold on. If she meant to say the sun, but she accidentally said the moon, then keeping everything the same in her statement, she means that NASA is about to go to the sun. Not only is NASA going to go to the sun, the United States government is going to try to figure out if we can live on the sun. Can we put a man on the sun? That's the better version of what Sheila Jackson Lee says, according to her. She says, no, you're misinterpreting. You are being so unfair to me. You know I misspoke. I didn't mean to say that we're going to go to the moon, we're not going to go to the sun, and the moon is made of gas. I meant to say that we're going to go to the sun, and we're going to live there forever in the sun, dancing around. I think she was better off with the first statement. These are the people who govern our country. I don't think that Sheila Jackson Lee is the least educated and dimmest member of Congress, certainly on the Democratic side. I think she's, if not average, maybe just a tad below average. This is it. Is it any wonder? You know, we were talking about education earlier because Joe Biden's going to pay for all these student loans. The problem is not that people are very educated, but they have a lot of student loan debt. That would be bad enough. The problem is, people have a lot of student loan debt. There is more student loan debt today than ever by a country mile. It's not even close. And they also are completely uneducated. That's the worst part of it. It'd be one thing if in exchange for all this debt, people were just really smart, you know, and they really knew a lot of things. And our country could be extremely innovative and sharp and educated. It's not. We are dumber and less educated than ever. We think that the moon is made of gas and we're going to go live on the sun. And we all have $250,000 in student loans. So that we could believe that. Not a good situation. Now, beyond the elected officials, we have more to our government than just the members of Congress, which I guess is a good thing if our members of Congress don't know what the sun is. But it's not so much a good thing in the sense that our permanent government, our deep state, as it is sometimes called, the entrenched bureaucracy, is unaccountable. And very often they will try to undermine the constitutional order. As Sound Investigations just discovered, this was part of an investigation that was recorded only about a couple of weeks ago, March 22nd of this year, another one of these fake dinner dates that was used to get information from someone who was a contracting officer with the CIA, also had worked for the FBI, all sorts of the three-letter agencies. This guy, on what he thinks is a dinner date, explaining how the deep state entraps ordinary Americans.
As long as the Bureau is able to progress far enough to be able to put pro-lifers in jail whenever they want.
Yeah.
You think that's on the agenda?
We can. You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
You set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their impulse. And once they act on that impulse, then we call that entrapment. It's a fine line.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close.
Not officially?
No. We get as close as we can. We get as close as we can to it without doing it.
So they can entrap some of these pro-lifers into doing things that they
depending,
don't...
Yeah. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just gotta give them a quick little just to see what happens, right?
And how does that happen?
You put a post out there or you have someone fake profile say something that triggers that we know is gonna trigger them, right? Like we already know your history. If we're to that point, we already know everything about it.
There you go. This guy is not saying anything that we don't already know. It is kind of funny that he's talking about, well, it's not really entrapment, but, you know, wink, wink, it's pretty close, isn't it? And yeah, and we just do things. We have fake profiles and fake posts that we know are going to trigger them and make them engage in certain behavior. And that is exactly what this investigator has done to him. This investigator goes on some dating app. I don't know. I assume it's some kind of dating app and, you know, posts the right things and nudges the right way. And this guy just blabs it all out. This is really the only argument these days against the ubiquity and omnipotence of the deep state is that these dolts are gullible enough to be taken in by... How many of these videos come out now? We seem to get one of these videos every 3 weeks, and yet these people keep falling for it. You have the cybersecurity czar, the director over at the White House, blabbing to James O'Keefe on a fake gay date about how Joe Biden's terrible and everyone wants him out. This is the cybersecurity czar. And then this guy, this CIA contracting officer, man, the agency, back 60, 70 years ago, Cold War, these guys, this is James Bond, Felix Leiter at least, you know? And now this guy, Gavin O'Blenis, giggling about how they entrap pro-lifers. Man, the CIA not sending their best anymore, are they? Good grief. But of course this happens. This is why, by the way, I'm so glad this guy said it, because it just confirmed something that I already thought, which is I go on social media, notably Twitter, now X, and you just get inundated with different kinds of spam. Obviously, they're the porn account. Everyone sees the nudes in profile or whatever. You know, that's like on every single popular X post. You see all of these weird porn accounts, then all these weird financial scams. You know, so-and-so made me $1 billion on Bitcoin or whatever. But then some are more highly targeted. And so I'll see certain accounts attacking me. And they'll attack me on, I don't know, something I said, something I did, you know, whatever it is, some, you know, funny picture of me or a meme about me or something. But one thing I'll notice is they're anonymous, pseudonymous accounts. And sometimes it'll be a lot of accounts posting pretty much the exact same thing at the same time. And I think, okay, well, that probably doesn't represent a lot of real people. Maybe it's one person. It could be a private individual who just doesn't like me, who's spamming. It could be a political operation, you know, the Democrats, or some other left-wing group, Media Matters. I mean, they've done that kind of thing a lot, obviously. Or could it be the government? Could it be the government trying to entrap people who are on the political radar? Well, previously I would have said, I don't know, there's not a ton of evidence for that. I don't want to seem conspiratorial. But here we go. The CIA is admitting it. That is exactly what they do, which is why I really try never to take the bait. I have this rule. If you are on X or any social media and you find yourself getting genuinely angry, back away. People are trying to trigger you. Now, you might say, okay, he's admitting that this is entrapment and that Twitter's not real life, to use a popular phrase. But the reason this is so insidious is, while Twitter posts might not reflect public opinion, they can help to shape public opinion. Because if you log on to social media, and you can't help but believe that this is reflecting real public opinion, which is why the CIA and the FBI and other bureaucratic deep state institutions use it. It's not that they're accurately reflecting the opinions that people hold, but they are helping to shape those opinions. And they do have about a century of experience at doing that. Usually that was focused abroad on our enemies, you know, propaganda to the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Unfortunately now, as we're finding out in these investigations, our own government agencies are using those kinds of war tactics on us. It has been 2 years of fighting the left with great products from Jeremy's razors. They are only getting better. Jeremy's second gen razors are here. Same mission, new razors. You will notice a redesigned ergonomic handle for superior durability, improved coated stainless steel blades, and a new and improved Precision 5 razor. If shaving is a chore and you just want to get it done and over with, the brand new Sprint 3 is for you. Open blade geometry allows for a quick, clean shave so you can get back to your manly activities as quickly as possible. Head on over to jeremysrazors.com to upgrade to your new second-gen razor today. I have two favorite comments from yesterday. I couldn't limit myself to just one, so we have two. First one from the Drummer's Workshop, Norm's Music. Watching The View is worse for your eyes than the eclipse. Very, very true. No question about it. Where's my second comment? There it is. Devin Rossi says, Whoopi being the voice of reason on The View may also be a sign of the rapture. That's true. You see how those were related clips, but when Whoopi Goldberg has to come in to say, Sonny Hostin, you're going too far. Joy Behar, maybe you're going too far. It's much more than the eclipse, much more than the Jewish heifers, much more. That Look, no one knows the day or the hour. No, not even the Son, only the Father. If there were to be a sign, that would probably rank among them. Okay, so we know that the feds are entrapping people. They're admitting it. What kind of people are they trying to get?
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Are you still after him? Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not anymore. We already got him. We already destroyed him. And they did. They did destroy Alex Jones. They bankrupted the guy. So he's still on the air, but he doesn't have the influence that he previously did. And so they just get him. They just got him. And is it just Alex Jones? Probably not. Are they maybe going after some other people too? Probably they are. Are they going after yours truly? I hope not. I don't know. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. How extensive is this kind of thing? If they're entrapping ordinary pro-lifers, as this former CIA and FBI guy admit that they were doing, probably this is a lot more extensive than just Alex Jones. Probably this is a psychological and propaganda operation geared at, if he's to be believed, geared at many, many, many conservative Americans. So what about in real life? Is it all just, you know, on Twitter? Is it all just triggering conservative talking heads on Twitter? Or do these guys set up conservatives in the real world too? I think you probably can guess the answer.
I thought you said that there were FBI agents in the crowd at J6.
There always are when there's a big protest in D.C. Just in case it gets out of hand like that.
But there wasn't
enough to turn that tide. I mean, I'm talking maybe half of 20. You needed 1,000 to get rid of that crowd.
So they had like, that was just 20?
Yeah, just to go through there and see what I can hear, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. They needed 1,000 at least.
Well, wow. See, that's also Capitol Police jurisdiction. They're in charge.
So the FBI,
why they didn't have more on hand, I don't know.
The Bureau didn't really want people knowing that they were in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be overstepping their bounds.
A little bit.
Do people know that?
Why?
Did people know that the Bureau was in the crowd?
Nope, and probably never will.
You know agents that were there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. The agency knew.
They probably never will, unless I get caught on camera in a honeypot operation. Not only does he say, this is actually pretty brilliant framing by the journalist on the fake date. He says, you said there were some agents in the crowd? Oh, yeah. There were only 20. Right? So the FBI guy, CIA guy is downplaying it. He's saying, yeah, we probably should have had more there. But, you know, it was the Capitol Police jurisdiction, even though they didn't have enough officers on hand. Wonder why that was. He seems to be insinuating that maybe there was more of a political operation going on here, that intentionally the Capitol Police presence was kept down on January 6th. Maybe so that what? So that maybe the crowd got a little out of hand? Well, who was sending the crowd out of hand? Did those 20 FBI agents maybe have something to do with it? I don't know. Were some of the prominent people from January 6th, sorry, January 6th, the worst day of insurrection in the history of republics. Is it possible that some of those FBI agents, that this guy is attesting to knowing were there, that maybe they had something to do with riling the crowd up? I don't know. It's an open question. But maybe this guy is just bluffing. Maybe he just heard a rumor, you know, heard from a friend of a friend that there were FBI guys on January 6th. Well, no, because the journalist asks him about that. And he says, do you know any agents who were there? He says, oh, yeah. Not only does he say, I know the agents who were there, he says, they work for the CIA now. They work for the agency, not the Bureau. And I know them and I know where they're currently working now. Right. Right. Nothing particularly new here. I think we all kind of knew this. For goodness sakes, the night before January 6th, on January 5th, now it doesn't quite have the same ring to it, but on January 5th, the night before, you had that guy Ray Epps, who many believe had some connection to the federal government because he was probably the most prominent instigator of people going into the Capitol that day. And yet he wasn't arrested for a long time. He was taken off the FBI website. It was just the whole thing was strange. Then he got a little slap on the wrist. He was treated really nicely by the New York Times, was writing puff pieces about him. We're told these are the worst terrorists ever in American history, except for the one guy who instigated all of it. And he's actually a poor, hapless victim. None of it made any sense. But forget about it. Maybe Ray Epps is a Fed. Maybe he's not. Regardless, seems pretty clear now. There were a number of Feds there. And the night before, when Ray Epps was saying, we got to go into the Capitol, all the people around were saying, Fed, you're a Fed. You're trying to entrap us, trying to give us that little nudge that the FBI and CIA folks are now admitting to. Thought the CIA was supposed to be focused abroad. Thought they weren't supposed to be doing stuff on American soil. Anyway, it's weird. Speaking of foreign affairs, El Salvador, my favorite right-wing Latin American country these days, run by Nayib Bukele, has just announced a new immigration plan. We live in an age where the global elites want more migration and the people tend to want to restrict migration. Here, however, is a new migration expansion plan that I think is really, really good and America should consider. Here's what he says. Bukele says, we are offering 5,000 free passports, equivalent to $5 billion in our passport program, to highly skilled scientists, engineers, doctors, artists, and philosophers from abroad. And philosophers. This is a big thinker, Mr. Bukele. Not just trying to get a guy who can, you know, get your air conditioner unit to work a little bit better, but a guy who can get your society to work a little bit better, a philosopher, someone who knows something about eternal questions and applying them to the real world. This represents less than 0.1% of our population, so granting them full citizen status, including voting rights, poses no issue. Despite the small number, their contributions will have a huge impact on our society and the future of our country. Plus, we will facilitate their relocation by ensuring 0% taxes and tariffs on moving families and assets. This includes commercial value items like equipment, software, and intellectual property. Stay tuned for more details. This is smart immigration. I'm all for this. Right now, we have 3 to 4 million people indiscriminately pouring into our country every single year. Most of them illegal, about 1 million of them legal, just pouring in. I would like to restrict that greatly, but I'm not a total immigration eliminationist. I don't know what new political jargon to make up, because I don't want to go down to zero immigration. I think 5,000 scientists, engineers, doctors, artists, and philosophers is not a bad idea. I'm okay with that. And you know what? America's a bigger country. Make it 10,000. The issue here now is we're importing a huge percentage of our population every single year. Democrats are doing it because they think it'll give them a permanent electoral majority, and the Chamber of Commerce Republicans are doing it because it gives them basically slave labor, and that's what they want. That doesn't help the country at all. That's that self-interested part. That's not the common good kind of regime. What Bukele is talking about, that is for the common good. Bring in people. As if this were some novel political idea. This is actually what immigration always was in stable, serious countries until very recently. Bring in people who will help all of society. Focus on your national interest and try to improve and advance the common good. Crazy stuff. But in an age that is philosophically, politically, all ignorant on so many levels, despite all of our student loans, that basic principle of statecraft seems like a shocking innovation. The rest of the show continues now. It is Woke Wednesday. You do not want to miss it. Become a member. Use code Knowles, KNWLES, at checkout for 2 months free on all annual plans.